You're listening to the North Canton Chapel podcast. Thank you for joining us today. The North Canton Chapel exists to make much of Jesus every day to everyone. It's our prayer that this podcast will equip you to do just that. We believe that there's nothing like the church united together in gospel community. We'd love if you'd stop in and say hello in person if you're in our neighborhood. Our gathering times are at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Thank you again for joining us today. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everyone. I would love for there to be some class participation this morning, so get your hands ready. In just a second, I'm going to put a slide up on the slides, up on the screen, and I want you to gauge in your mind of these four entities, the entity that you trust the most, okay? So I'm going to put these four things up on the screen. You've got to decide which one you trust the most, and then I'm going to call each of them out one by one, and you can only vote one time, and your vote is just a simple clap, okay? So we're just going to kind of see here in North Canton who trusts what the most. Here are the four things: Uber, Facebook, CNN, and Amazon. Okay, those are the four things you have to choose from. We're going to call them out one by one. And again, your vote, you can't vote more than once, okay? That's election fraud. And you vote once just by clapping. I'll call them out, and then you vote. Okay, everybody ready? You got yours. You know which one you trust the most. Okay, here we go. First of all, Uber. Y'all have Uber here? That's great. For those of you that don't know, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and we have this new thing called Waymo where I live. It's a driverless car, and it's amazing. I actually took one the first time, and I videoed the fact that I was in a car being driven by no driver. I videoed it, and I sent it to my father-in-law and told him the rapture happened. It was awesome. And then I told him, and if you're reading this, you got left. Okay, Facebook. Exactly, it's a dumpster fire. None of us should trust Facebook. CNN. A couple of Democrats are here. That's amazing. I did not realize I was speaking at the Republican National Convention. And lastly, Amazon. Here's what's interesting about Amazon. What's interesting to me about Amazon is that most of us in the room clapped, including teenagers, middle schoolers. That's disturbing. But most of us, if we get really honest, we don't know that much about Amazon. What we trust about it is what they do for us. We're not really sure what their ethical practices are. We're just fairly certain that, especially if we pay a little bit of extra, it'll be there really, really quickly. And here's the reason why I want us to wrestle with this idea of trust. All weekend long, we've been talking about this idea that Jesus said this about us, that we are the light of the world. And the question every mom and dad in the room, grandparent in the room, auntie, uncle, businessman, businesswoman, middle school student, small group leaders, we all have to ask ourselves this question. If your picture was on the screen, would someone trust you to be the light of the world? Would they trust you to be someone who guides them the right way? And watch, all of us in the room, we really are similar in this sense that 2,000 plus years ago, just like the first people who were following Jesus, a lot of us in the room, we're just unsure of what that means. For those of you that don't know, and maybe you've heard this before, there was a real person named Jesus who lived, died, and rose from the dead. Jesus interacted with people who followed him the closest. We call them disciples. And in one instance, Jesus has already had a last meal with them. He's washed their feet. And then he tells them, I've got to leave you. And where I'm going, you can't go. But you know how to go where it is that I'm going. And Thomas says to Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know? And John tells us that this is the way Jesus responded. In John chapter 14, Jesus told him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. If you had already known me, you would know who my Father is, And from now on, you do know him and you've seen him. And then Jesus says this, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show you? In essence, here's what Jesus was saying to his closest followers and to you and I 2,000 plus years later. Jesus is what God has to say, ladies and gentlemen. If you're wondering what God is like, look to Jesus. If you're trying to figure out what the kingdom of God is like, look to Jesus. And he says this phrase that's gotten really misconstrued in churches all across America and in the West, because we have a tendency to misinterpret what Jesus meant when he said, I am the way. I am the way. In fact, here's what I would submit to most of us in the room. If we're really honest, we've reduced the way of Jesus to a set of behaviors, and we've reduced Jesus to a mascot. When in reality, here's what Jesus is saying. If you want to understand what it means to have a relationship with your Creator, middle school student, if you want to understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, adults, look at the way of Jesus. For those of you that don't know, first century followers of Jesus weren't immediately called Christians. They were called people of the way. They were called people of the way because this had become so ingrained in their mind. Now, this is what we all know about ways. If we get really, really practical about a way, and we'll throw this up on the screen. We know that a way is like a road that someone has traveled, so there's a way for you to go. We also know that a way is a journey, and a way is a framework of thinking, like all of us have a way about us. Middle school students, you know that there is a way that you do life with your parents. Parents, you know that there is a way that your middle schooler does life. The question is, what is the way of Jesus? Which means we have to look at the scriptures, this historical account of who Jesus was, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark's the oldest gospel that we have. Matthew and John borrowed from him. Luke was a TMZ reporter. He just went around and interviewed people. But the scriptures tell us this was the way of Jesus. Now, here's why that's interesting. I heard someone say this recently, that the Bible is kind of like America's hot dog. We don't know what's in it. We don't know how it was made. We just digest it blindly and belch loudly. And it's true for a lot of us in this room. We're not really sure how the Bible was put together. We're not really certain what's in it. We just digest it or ingest it, and then we belch loudly. Here's what I would propose this morning that we're going to find in what Jesus talks about this way. The most important thing, and the most difficult thing is the same thing often. The most important thing and the most difficult thing is almost always the same thing. And the hardest thing you and I will do in trying to understand the scriptures, if I could put it on a timeline, this is the way that it looks. This is when Jesus said what he said, and here's where you and I are in Ohio in 2026. And what most of us do, and this is natural, what most of us do is we interpret the scriptures from 2026 backwards. The more important, logical thing to do is to somehow, some way, put yourself, myself, in the context of when Jesus is saying this, who he's saying it to, and interpret it future forward, not future backwards. That's so much more of the right way for us to understand the way of Jesus. So here's what I want us to do this morning, if we could. If you have your Bible, I would love for you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And while you're turning there, Matthew chapter 7 is the crescendo of what most biblical scholars believe are the things that Jesus taught the most in the 3 years that he was doing ministry. We know them as the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Most theologians and biblical scholars believe that these were the things that Jesus talked about all the time. Matthew just happens to record them, and he gives us a summary of those things. And if we could fly through this for the sake of time, here's what I would love for you to do. I want you to get a snapshot of Jesus helping us understand the way of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says that blessed or complete or whole are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And then in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about this idea. Teenagers, this is middle school students, this is what we talked about this weekend. He helps us understand that we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. He talks about this idea of the fulfillment of the law, that Jesus didn't come to do anything else but to fulfill the law. He said things like this. You've heard it said, do not murder, but I tell you, if you've ever had anger in your heart, it's like you killed somebody. Everybody okay? That was a tough one. He says things like, if you're at the altar with a gift, worshiping, and you realize you have an issue with somebody else, go and make that right, then come back and worship. Settle matters quickly. You heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, if you ever had lust in your heart, it's like you've committed adultery. He talks about divorce. He talks about oaths. He disrupts this idea in that culture of an eye for an eye because he was speaking to people who lived in a world where if someone did something to you, you responded accordingly and some. And he tells us to love our enemies. And then he gets to Matthew chapter 7. Give to the needy. Here's how you pray. This is why you should fast. Store up your treasures in heaven. Do not worry. Do not judge. Ask, seek, knock. He talks about true and false teachers, what it means to follow. And just, if you pay attention just from a snapshot of the things that I just read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, does anybody notice this? That almost everything Jesus is talking about the way, has everything to do with how we have relationships with each other. This is going to rattle some of us in the room. But I am convinced that God measures the health, depth, and maturity of your relationship with him this way by your relationships with people this way. Everything he talks about is within that context. For us to read the scriptures and the way of Jesus any other way is for us to take it out of context. It would literally be the equivalent of you watching the Disney movie Frozen and thinking it's a Weather Channel documentary. Or watching Saving Private Ryan and thinking it's a romantic comedy. And if you've watched Frozen and you've watched Saving Private Ryan, this is what you know. They're not a Weather Channel documentary and it's not a romantic comedy. So when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate, we have to interpret what Jesus means by the narrow gate by the context of everything he said in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You can enter the kingdom through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Now, if you've grown up in any sort of evangelical context, you understand that most people who talk about this idea of a narrow gate and a narrow road, we always talk about it in some, you know, salvation context. Watch this. When you understand where Jesus sits, this utterance in the middle of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you begin to understand he's not talking about what we thought he was talking about. He's talking about it in the context of the way. In fact, the verse right before Matthew 7, 13, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. there's a way, the way of Jesus, and not a lot of people choose it because it's difficult and it's messy. The broad way, there's a ton of people on it. And can I get really, really personal this morning? If you want to shine your light in the greater North Canton area, would you consider how often we do this in relationships? Isn't it true, middle school students, adults in the room, we expect perfect behavior from imperfect beings all the time? Everybody okay? Some of y'all just nudged your spouse. This is not a time for this. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. Okay, let's be kind. But we all the time expect perfect behavior from imperfect beings, but I expect imperfection from myself, and I expect you to expect imperfection from me, but I want you to respect me like I'm perfect. Everybody all right? Okay, I will. I expect grace and forgiveness from you about all my imperfections, but I refuse to extend grace and forgiveness to you for all your imperfections. Middle schoolers, you get really frustrated with your mom and dad when they hold you accountable to your imperfections. But isn't it crazy how you always hold them to a hopelessly high standard that they cannot meet? Because, first of all, middle schoolers, being a parent is the hardest job we've ever had. And let me tell you why it's hard. You're the reason why it's hard. Your parents were cool before they had you. Y'all didn't know we were going to have revival. But it's true. But watch this, mom and dad. You do the same exact thing to your child. You hold an impossible standard over them, but you expect them to give grace when you need it to you. And Jesus is going, we may need to rethink what it means to follow the way. Most of us, regardless of your religious background, we know that Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, stuck in the epicenter of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus teaches us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. That word forgive is this interesting Greek word, aphiami, and it literally means to send away. In essence, here's what Jesus is teaching us. And send away our sins just as we send away the sins of those who have sinned against us. Send it away. Teach me to send away the sins of those who have sinned against me just as hopefully they send away my sins when they sin against me. But that's not what we do. And can I illustrate it for just a second? My man right there with the beanie on. Yeah, you. Could you come here and help me? Y'all give this guy a big hand, okay? Hurry up. What's up, man? Tell me your name again.
Dimitri.
You are really good in the bear, by the way. some of y'all got that and some of you didn't. All right, now watch. Here's the thing. Dimitri, let's just pretend you and I, we met the other night and had a good conversation. But let's just pretend that Dimitri and I are really, really good friends, okay? And I want you to hold it. Here's what most of us do with relationships. Most of us, somebody hurts us. Somebody hurts us. And let's just say Dimitri and I are friends and Dimitri hurts me. And what we choose to do, instead of aphiami, sending it away, we go, okay, cool, here. You hurt me, I hurt you. And it could stop there because Dimitri could go, okay, you're right, I need to let it go. But that's not what we do. We get angry about it. We get angry about it. So Dimitri gets angry and he goes, "You made me angry." And I go, "Well, I'm mad too." And we watch, the entire time we could send this away, but we don't do it. Instead of when we get hurt, we get angry, and then we just start replaying it in our mind. Anybody wake up this morning with that going on? You just have it on loop. Whoever hurt you, whoever made you mad, you just put it on loop. So here's the thing, Dimitri, he can send it away at any time, but he's like, "No, here." And I start replaying what he did, "Here." And then we have the audacity to start telling people what they did to us. Middle schoolers, right? Some of your small groups all weekend long. "Do you know what's so?" I mean, it happened all weekend long. And adults, before you get really, really judgmental, adults are just teenagers. Adults are teenagers who owe people money. That's who we are. And they learn, watch this, they learn this habit from us, where we will just talk about whoever it is who hurt us and made us angry because it's on loop. And so we go, "Here, hold it." And I go, then we get tribal. What do you mean by tribal? There are some of us in this room. You have muscles. Try it. Don't cheat. But this is what we do. We get tribal. Some of you in this room, back up, bro. Hold the thing. What we do is, there are some of us in this room, you have a grievance with someone who's never done anything to you. The reason why you hold a grievance against them is because someone you love holds a grievance against them, and they started talking to you about it, and you agreed with them, and now you don't like them either. And the whole time, you could have sent it away. But no. Demetrius is like, "No. And I can send it away." But there's one more. You know what happens when you get hurt and you get angry and you put it on loop and you start talking about it all the time and you get tribal? Eventually, you make yourself spiritually sick. And for some of us in the room, the reason why you struggle spiritually is because this entire time you could have just sent it away. But instead of you sending it away, you decided to hold on to it. And it has made you spiritually sick. Would y'all give Dimitri a giant round of applause? You should put those right there. Thank you, brother. You're good. The church needed that hole in the stage. That's amazing. And then we wonder why our friends who don't follow the way of Jesus look at us and go, "You don't seem that different than me." And then we read Paul's letter to first century churches. And he writes a letter to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Paul says, forgive each other. Send it away. Not because they deserve it. You and I send it away because we understand that's what he did for us. Did you notice? Forgiving each other just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I understand this. By this. And God understands this by this. It's what it means for us to follow the way. Several years ago, my wife and I, some of you may have been here before, but my wife and I were asked to go and speak in Bend, Oregon. Has anybody ever been to Oregon? It's such a beautiful, beautiful state. And for those of you that don't know, from California into Oregon, there's two ways that you can go. If you were in California, starting in California, you wanted to go to Oregon, you could decide to take Interstate 5, or in California, you can take the Pacific Coast Highway, the 1, and the 1 turns into the 101 in Oregon. This is a picture of the 5. It's the Broadway. Tons of people on it. Lanes for days. You move relatively quick, but it's not enjoyable. This is the 101. Two lanes, not very crowded unless it's a certain time of the year, but you see things like this. For all you Goonie fans, hey, you guys, that's that place. Cannon Beach. Or you can see this place called Thor's Well. So much beauty on the narrow way. But the narrow way is more complicated. It's got more twists and turns. It's more messy. It's more dangerous. But it's less crowded. And here's what I would propose this morning. If it's predictable, it's not the narrow way. It's the Broadway, minus Lion King and Les Mis. If it's predictable, it's not the narrow way. It's the Broadway, everybody. Forgiveness is not predictable because everybody doesn't forgive. And Jesus goes, but that's not who we are. That's not who we are. That's not what it means to follow my way. Resentment and revenge, passing it back and forth, that's predictable. And I have a sneaky suspicion for a lot of us in this room. You consider yourself a person following the way of Jesus, but you are holding on to some things. And if you want to see it, this will be sobering. But if you want to see a depiction of what it looks like to send it away, if I may, sending it away is the way. Sending it away is the way. Sending it away is the way. Aren't you just sick of being sick because you won't send it away? Middle schooler, do you know what would happen on your campus if you simply decided, I'm going to send it away? You know what would happen in your home? Send it away. Parents, send it away. Adults in the room who hold grievance against your own parents, Send it away. Spouses, the day after Valentine's Day, send it away. With your ex, send it away. It's a narrow road. Not a ton of people on it, but it is so incredibly beautiful. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, here's what I ask for all of us in this room, that you would teach us to send it away. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For the sermon that Demetrius preached this morning and didn't even realize. May we be people who follow the way of Jesus. May we be people who become the light of the world, that our life would be such a contradiction to what is predictable, that people have no choice but to go, I trust you, because I can tell that you're following someone or something. And I want to be like that. May that be true of all of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.